This morning, I want to just remind you that throughout the week, you know, Terry, Vicky, Jason, and I, we did not meet, but at some point throughout the week, the Holy Spirit met with all of us. So I think that you will hear maybe lots of echoes throughout today. We are picking up in the Sermon of the Mount. This morning, we are at the end of the Beatitudes, but remember, the Beatitudes are really just the launching point into the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, we're going to be reading from chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be revealing your truth to us this morning, that we would feel the filling of your Spirit, that you would speak through me, that you would continue to move and work in such a way that you speak through all of our lives. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you remember, as we've been walking through the Beatitudes, we've been seeing how the Beatitudes are not just a framework for Christian life, but really how they're a framework for how we can better love our neighbors. That Jesus, really from the beginning, Rod set the stage for us that these are really it's about a change in heart, the change in direction, the change in our message, that our whole life becomes reoriented as we follow after Jesus, that it's a change of everything. And so we've walked through these Beatitudes and we've seen how they have been counter-cultural, counter-intuitive. They seem to go against the world. And then we came to last week, and in my benediction last week, I invited you to go out and get beat up. Or in other words, that persecution is kind of this sign that we're on the right track. Well, this morning, I'm going to invite you again to go out and get beat up. But today I'm going to tell you to go out and get beat up and to be happy about it. You may remember I shared with you that I am not a person who greatly enjoys conflict. I like to keep conflict away from me. Conflict is not a place where I find joy. Conflict is at times necessary and it needs to be handled, but I would much rather it be out there. In college, I had a roommate who he loved conflict. I mean, he thrived on it. I mean, he wasn't a bully or a jerk, but he embraced conflict to the point that he made part of his living as a professional wrestler. And yes, that kind of professional wrestling, you know, the kind that you see on TV. You would never have seen him on TV. It was a smaller wrestling federation. But nonetheless, we would kind of travel around with him and go to his match. I mean, why would you not? So I graduated college from Pittsburgh State, so we traveled around, Pittsburgh and, some wonderfully thriving metropolis areas. No, they were some of the smallest backwater towns that, but so we would travel around, and usually we would be at, like an American Legion or a VFW or, a place like that. But we found ourselves one time, we were in this tiny little town, had one store that where you could get gas, and they had like a refrigerator that you might find in like a house that had beer and I think Coke in it. That's what they sold: gas, beer, and Coke, and cigarettes. And in this park, they had set up their wrestling ring, and it was populated by the town's population, and so it became my roommate's turn, and they're introducing him, and he's all excited. His job was to be the bad guy, and then they announce his opponent, and this woman who had caught my attention earlier. She caught my attention because she was older, a lot older, and she was the first person in my life who I had ever seen smoke more than one cigarette at once. She was chain-smoking two or three Virginia Slims at the same time. Create for yourself this mental picture, so my friend's opponent comes into the ring, and this woman all of a sudden starts yelling, "Get him, son! Get him! Get him, son!" And waving her cane, like tempting anybody to come near her, and that was her son, and no one had told her that it was staged. And you could see this look on my roommate's eyes, like, does he know that? He's a lot bigger than me. And I tell you this because I think this is probably how maybe some of you might be feeling. Is this really what I signed up for? In the world around us, shouting, "Get him. Just get him. Attack him." I thought this was supposed to be fun. I thought, Jesus was all about love and blessings. Well, the Beatitudes are about blessings. Blessed are you when people persecute you. And so we might feel like we've just stepped into a ring and no one fully explained what was about to happen. And we have this sudden realization that what's coming up against us is scary. But Jesus says, "You're about to be blessed." Really? I'm about to be blessed? Yeah. Jesus says, yes, you are. In the midst of some of the most uncomfortable, scary moments, you're about to be blessed. And he gives us a couple of reasons why. Why are we supposed to rejoice in the midst of persecution, people speaking badly of us, the world beating us up? The first reward is that eternal, the future reward, what we have to look forward to. Jesus says, you will be rewarded. And it's exciting. It's that hope. It's what, we as Christians proceed through life with hope. And I will frequently encounter people who are in the midst of some of the hardest situations, whether that's sickness or death or whatever it might be. And I think, how in the world can you do this without hope? And so it is a gift that we have. And it's sometimes a gift that we look past because it's so much, you know, future-minded. And we're instant gratification people. We want things now. We want a reward now. So it's nice to have hope. It's nice to think about what's coming. But sometimes it's maybe less motivating. And so I think the second reward, for me personally at least, is a little bit more rewarding. And on the surface, so it says, "For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Yes, that's the reward, is that we look like the prophets or the saints or those faithful people who have come before us. And to really dive into this, we have to maybe take a little bit closer look at what this word rejoice means. So I told you that I just returned from a pastor's retreat, and that the theme of that pastor's retreat was reclaiming the joy in ministry. That if you look at statistics across the board, they ask the number of pastors who are finding joy in ministry, and the numbers are less than 17%. Less than 17% of ministers across the globe find joy in ministry. And so, you know, you can then apply those numbers. Really, it's not that far of a leap to imagine what joy must look like amongst believers. That joy is this thing that has eluded us. Well, at the retreat, it was led by a man named Roy Yankee. He's from a ministry called PRR, Pastors in Residency. They come alongside of pastors and do things like help them find joy. But he shared something with us that I had never known before. So as part of my schooling process, I studied Greek and Hebrew, but they're not my strong suit by any means. But he shared with us, he said, at the root of that word rejoice is the Greek word char, meaning grace. That the root of joy is grace. So the literal meaning of rejoice is to be in grace. So Christian rejoicing is intentionally living in the grace of God. And so I'm going to reread that last verse, verse 12, but I'm going to substitute that word rejoice for this. So blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Intentionally live in the grace of God and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so the very source, the very root of our rejoicing or our joy is grace. Did we hear that again earlier this morning? I think we did. The core is grace. You know, because of the fall, because we live in a world that is full of sin and brokenness and separation, we have this deep sense of lack, where we feel at times deep inside of us what it means to be without joy, without love, without companionship, whatever that might be. And frequently, this idea of joy eludes us. It seems just beyond our grasp. And we find ourselves saying things like, well, if one more thing, like if just one thing would fall into place, or if there was one change made, then I could be happy. And really, the opposite is really frequently true in moments where we are feeling joy. How quickly the world around us seems like it can just suck it away from us, where it just pulls and it steals. We have to recognize that there is a spiritual component here, that there is a spiritual component to our joy. That as we understand the root of joy as being grace, and grace is the free gift from God. And so our joy, our rejoicing, grace is freely given to us by God. But then who is continuously trying to steal that from us? Remember that our enemy is not of this world, but he prowls around. And he's looking for opportunities to grasp and to suck and to steal that joy from you. And so here, Jesus in his Beatitudes is saying that when you are suffering, when you are being persecuted because of me, that you can find joy in that because of the grace that you have received. You are my sons and my daughters. There is your joy. That we look like those prophets, that we look like those saints, that we are in good company. And so through Jesus, we're able to enter into these uninterrupted relationships of love with God the Father. That through Jesus, as we stay in Jesus, as we remain in Jesus, as we're close to Jesus, we can enter into an uninterrupted love relationship with God. We mess it up a lot. We somehow find ourselves distancing ourselves from that. But God doesn't move. God doesn't change. His love is uninterrupted. And so joy, as elusive as we think that it might be, is right there. Because God's grace doesn't go away. Because God doesn't go away. And so this idea of rejoicing is, it's about receiving that grace, believing that it has been given to us. Have you received it? Do you believe it? And if you've received it and you believe it, then you extend it. That you know what it's like to have grace extended to you. And so maybe it looks a little bit easier to look beyond those mean words or those rude interactions or those hurtful things. And we ask ourselves the questions like, what does their past look like? What does their right now look like? What pain, what hurt are they enduring? What people who have called themselves Christians in the past have hurt them? Why are they attacking me? Is it because of what I have done or because of what has been done to them? And we can begin to extend this grace, and we're reminded that we look at them the same way that Christ looks at them, and we extend grace. So we receive grace, we extend grace, and then we live grace. That we live rejoicing that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High King. And that because we are His sons and daughters, and our identity is linked with Him, and that as our lives begin to look like His life, we are persecuted just as He was persecuted. And in that we find joy because we look like Jesus. Looking like Jesus is worth celebrating. That if your friends and your neighbors, if the strangers and the enemies begin to view you as looking like Jesus, and as a result of that, are persecuting you, that is worth rejoicing. And so we have received grace. We extend grace. And we live grace as we live in Jesus Christ. Lean into your calling. I was reminded of this again this weekend, that our first calling is as sons and daughters. That we are called to be sons and daughters of God. And to abide in that. To have this deep sense of love and belonging that the Creator of the universe has called us, that He loves us, that He's never going to let us go. And so lean into that calling. Love the world around you as you are loved. Seek to be obedient children. Enjoy the rewards. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just the amount of grace that You pour out is beyond measure. The amount of grace that I know that You have shown even just in my own life. And so I know, Lord God, that the grace that has filled this room, that we have felt it, that we have seen it, that we know what it looks like. May we go out in a way, Lord God, that we extend that grace to the people around us, that our rejoicing would lead to more rejoicing. That we would outpraise the world. That our worship, that our obedience, Lord God, would drown out those harsh words, the persecution, the pain. And that we would abide in the deep sense that we are Your sons and Your daughters. That You have chosen us and that You love us. We thank You and we praise You. And we pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.